Ben Fry with you on BBC Essex. We're talking about the Lower Thames Crossing this morning, and if you're in the Thurrock area, feel free to get in touch with your experiences of what life is like, really, with just the one crossing at the moment. Are you often caught up in traffic in and around the Thurrock area? Would you welcome a second crossing, which is planned and hoped would ease the congestion around Thurrock? Are you happy you live near the plans where this Lower Thames crossing, a tunnel from East Tilbury through to Kent, is being proposed? Thurrock Council not happy. Neither are the Woodland Trust. The consultation on this ends on the 20th of June, and there are local events around in the coming days for more people to have their say. Let's speak to Matt Palmer, the Lower Thames Crossing Executive Director at National Highways. Hi to you, Matt.
Hi, Ben. Thank you for having me on this morning.
No worries. Thank you for coming on. I've had one or two people objecting to the proposals. And I'll get to those shortly, but just start by giving us your thoughts on why this is needed.
I mean, your intro earlier, I don't know if you've been out on the roads today, but there's a tanker down on the Dartford Crossing right now. We've got a 7-mile tailback back to Junction 28. It's a nightmare in Graves at the moment. So Thurrock and Graves are sort of completely snarled in it. And that's really the overall need. You know, the fact is, we've got one crossing, it's aging, and we need to have an additional crossing. And that's what the Lower Thames Crossing does. It doubles the capacity, which will mean we avoid the stuff that's going on today, for instance.
So if you said Grays is a nightmare, why are Thurrock Council, obviously quite a key player in anything that goes ahead here, why are they objecting to the proposals that are currently in place?
I presume you've talked to them. I mean, I think that the biggest issue that Thurrock have clearly is that they're a small borough, and we take a swathe through their area, and we recognise that, and we try and mitigate that as much as possible. But of course, there is an impact when you build a new road, and that's sort of where Thurrock are coming from.
And I have spoken to them, and they've said their surveys suggest there'll only be a 4% reduction in traffic on the Dartford Crossing if and when this is constructed.
So I don't recognise the 4% at all. We're completely transparent with all our modelling with all the local authorities, including Thurrock. We double the capacity crossing the Thames in this area. What that means is actually people can make journeys that they don't make at the moment. Right now, no one would try and go southbound over the crossing because it's a nightmare. And so even once we've doubled it and people are making the journeys that currently they don't make, we then still end up with over 20% reduction on the actual existing Dartford crossing when we open. So we don't recognise the 4% at all. I'm frustrated with it. We spend an awful lot of money developing a sophisticated, all our models to demonstrate, and then we then share them. And I don't understand where the 4%'s come from, I'm afraid.
And there's also concerns from the council about health issues, breathing related issues with all the construction. The area already has one of the highest numbers of people with pulmonary disorders. What about the impact the construction will have on all of those businesses?
So there's sort of two parts to that. There's construction and air quality. I absolutely share their concerns on both of those, actually. And we do an awful lot to ensure that we minimise and mitigate any impact. So we talk about air quality. Air quality from roads is all about locality. And what we've done is designed this road to be away from houses with bunding and planting in between, which minimises or removes any impact of air quality. I suppose the second bit about on air quality is, of course, we're starting to see electric vehicles rolled out faster than expected, and by 2030 there'll be a ban. So when this opens, we'll see a dramatically different fleet mix. So air quality is only improving, but we can do more, and we continue to do more. I suppose the construction side of it, we spent an awful lot of time thinking about how we're going to construct this, how we're going to avoid having impacts on residents and businesses. And what we do is we build a haul road, which is just a construction road along the route, so we don't need to traffic onto the existing roads, and we minimise our impact as much as possible. And the contractors will then take what's in our planning and make that even better. So our challenge is to continually improve and minimise that impact. And we've done a lot so far, and we can do more. Yeah, we are absolutely mindful of ensuring we build this in a caring, responsible way for the local community.
And you mentioned there, look, you're doing all of that with, you know, air quality in mind, and you're trying to build it away to cause, you know, a minimal impact. But the Woodland Trust have then said this is now one of the most damaging road schemes in the country, because you're going to be bulldozing 10 hectares of land and destroying millennia of nature reserves that have been built up over those years, over hundreds and hundreds of years.
So, the route has been selected to try and minimise the impact to both, you know, human, but also to woodland. And so we've absolutely tried to wend our way across the countryside, avoiding ancient woodland as much as possible. And we've done that. We then have some unavoidable areas where we do, as Woodland Trust rightly points out, we then do have impacts on some areas of woodland. What we continually do is we try and pull back our boundary edges, etc., further and further to continually minimise that. But there will be some areas, and they're pointing them out, where we do actually have impact. Now, what we do in those areas is we translocate soils. That's not really the end answer, because it doesn't really fully take the ancient nature of the woodland. And then we do a significant amount of planting. So we do compensation planting to try and put back something that's better. So we plant 7 times more trees than we take down. We put those into areas that are next to existing habitats, so we reinforce large areas of existing habitats. To date, we've already taken on an area of land on the northern part of the route, just up top end of Thurrock into Brentwood, with 100 hectares of tree planting. And we plant over 400 hectares in the scheme. So we put back an awful lot, but we're very mindful. Ancient woodland is irreplaceable. So we therefore try and minimise the impact and avoid it wherever possible.
Are you set on the current proposal as it is? And obviously consultation events are going on. I mean, is this set in stone, or are there still options available? If there are a number of people come back and assert against a certain issue in the consultation, you'll go back to the drawing board?
So it's a two-stage process. So back in 2016, we went out to consultation about routes. So where exactly would we put this road? And in 2017, the government then decided on the route that we're currently consulting on. So since 2017, we've then been working through how we deliver a road along the route that government's already declared, and try and mitigate and minimise the impact and best deliver that road. So that's what our last series of consultations have been on, and that's what the existing one, the consultation that's out today, is all about. If it's on this route, how are we delivering it in the most sympathetic way for the community? If anyone gives us any feedback, and the Woodland Trust, I know are giving us feedback into that consultation, we will take that on board, and we will listen and make sure we improve our schemes if we can. And we will then play back how we've done that. So absolutely, people can give us can tell us anything they want about the scheme, and we will listen to it and see if we can accommodate or change the scheme to make it better. But as I say, it's a two-stage process. The route has already been determined by government, and we're now just trying to minimise the impact of that route.
And if there are changes that come back, and will you then have to consult again? Are we going to be in this cycle of consult? Can you do this? Consult? And are we ever going to be in a point where construction may start?
Construction will start. I suppose, it's a good example of where one of our consultations did spawn a thing we changed it for. So last year we were at the consultation on a really extensive sort of total impacts of the scheme consultation. And in the middle of that came an area in Thurrock where actually Port of Tilbury want to expand, and therefore we had to change how we were going to put in a public park, etc. So that is really the reason we've gone back out to consultation now, is because that changed last year. We don't believe we're going to see something of that scale this time. So it depends on the size of the feedback we get. We do talk to all our stakeholders. So we talk to both the communities, but also local government, utilities and businesses all the way through. And we aren't expecting anything large to be in this consultation, but we've always got to be open-minded to take it and potentially change. That said, I'm optimistic that our planning application will go in this year and we will start construction in 2024.
Okay, we'll leave it there. That's Matt Palmer. Thank you for joining us. Matt from National Highways continue to hold consultation events around the South Essex area.